Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. I'm grateful for all that God's doing during these days, and I wanted to share with you. You'll be finding 1 Corinthians 7. We're just going to look at one little verse, and then we're going to go from there. Got kind of a topical message for you this morning. I believe expository preaching is the best way to teach and preach and train folks and equip folks. But every now and then there's a, and that's taking a text and giving an explanation and an application of what those verses say. But today's going to be more topical in nature. And I want to talk to you about a topic that I just want to tell you, I'm a rookie at this. I don't know a whole lot about it. And let me just share with you what took place up in here on Wednesday night. I asked our folks, looking back at 2018, to just share what they thought were some highlights, some spiritual high water marks of what God's done here at Second Mile Church in 2018, and it was amazing. It was really amazing. It was a God thing, and someone had, of course, shared. They, you know, our launch service, the first big grand opening service was March 25th. And since that time, we've seen 30 folks baptized. And that's an amazing statistic in and of itself. But I think we've just touched the hem of the garment there. We've had over 100 people join the church and go through our First Mile class. Somebody mentioned that. And somebody mentioned something about the giving in this church. And you all gave $3,500, I think it was, maybe more than that, so that families could have Christmas. You gave $5,500 for our international missionaries and our Lottie Moon Christmas offering back in September. You gave $3,400 for our Golden State mission offering. This past year, you have given, Shan tells me, over almost $50,000 to the cooperative program. Which is missions giving. 50,000. Somebody shout amen. That's a glorious thing that's happened. So we're supporting missions and giving and that kind of thing. And then there were some other testimonies. Mike Rainey, who I've known for years and 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 years, got choked up and said, the greatest thing that's really probably ever happened ministry-wise in my life happened during Christmas. And boy, that really, when he said that, I was tuned in. And you know what touched Mike? Was the Christmas caroling that we did. He said, you should have seen those folks and their faces that we were singing to. And then Teddy Bigger and Belinda said some things, and I lost it. I just couldn't. But he said, we'd been out of church for years, and the moment they walked in here, they knew they were home. And Greg Lee and Cindy, well, Greg came up to me after the service. That's what most, you know, the real business of the church takes place after the service. You know that? And Greg came up to me and he said, you know, we've been in another place, in another setting, another worship place for many years. But he said, the moment we pulled up on the parking lot and your men spoke to us and helped get us in here, and then we hit the door and saw these beautiful ladies, our greeters, he said, we knew we were at the right place. And I could go on and on and on about 2018. But before I do that, I want us to look at one scripture but before we talk about 2019. And would you stand? Let me just invite you to stand as we, if you can. If you can't, you honor God's word best you can. 1 Corinthians 7. I just want to look at one little verse there, verse 5. If you're there, say amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 7, 5. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I want to talk this morning about giving ourselves to prayer and fasting. Father, would you bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, infallible, inspired, authoritative word. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I want to ask a group of folks. I want to honor you guys, okay? I want you to stand. And I just want folks to just kind of recognize who you are, because this group is the largest group in the history of America. Largest generation of people, 103 million of them. If you were born between 1978 and 2000, would you please stand? All right, now take a good look at these folks. Largest group in generation, 103 million in American history. And the vast majority of these folks that were born between 78 and 2000, we call this the millennial generation. Now let me these are the millennials. If y'all make it to the millennial age, we'll be doing well. Amen? And so let me say this about these folks real quickly. All of them are voting now. All of them are voting. And the vast majority of them are in the workforce now. Okay? Yeah, Susan says, praise the Lord. But sadly, this is the most lost generation in American history. 9 out of 10 millennials that are from this generation, 9 out of 10 do not have a relationship with God. And I got those statistics from Dr. Tom Rainer from Lifeway. That's basically, he's the stat guru. And so I want you to think about this generation. These are some of the finest folks I've ever run into. Look at these folks. Just look at them. And some of y'all, and some of you girls are eye candy. I like looking at y'all. Anyways, y'all please be seated. You never know what's going to come out of my mouth, do you? But I want to tell you, our country is in a real mess spiritually. We're in a mess spiritually. And the generation behind the millennial bunch, the stats for them is even worse spiritually. Their kids, their children. And when I think back to 2018 and all God did here, and I start thinking about 2019 and reaching not just the millennial, we're not going to call any generation. We're after everybody, okay? Because that's who Jesus came to reach, was everybody. But when I start thinking about that group of folks, we need the power of God on this church this year. We've got to have it. If we're going to do, and I believe God's going to do some things here in 2019 that we've never seen God do before. I believe that. And God's going to stretch us this year. He's going to do some things this year that we're going to look back and say, oh my, wow. So we need to prepare for that. How silly would it be for us to expect God to move in a great way here in this year, in this city, in this community, and the world we live in, and for us not to prepare for that? And this deal, now I know y'all didn't come to, how many of y'all really were looking forward to hearing a message on prayer and fasting? There's two honest people back in the back. I get that. I understand that. I mean, I grew up here in this town, had a great pastor, great Sunday school teachers, fantastic church home, but I never heard anything about fasting. I heard a lot about prayer, but never heard anything about fasting. No teaching on it, no preaching on it, until about a few years ago. And what I've learned as just a rookie in this area is simply this, is that if you would like to experience God in a fresh way and have a real encounter with God, if you would like to enjoy the unleashed power of God in your life, if you would really love to have the presence of the Lord in you, on you, and all over you, if you'd like to be set free this year from anxiety, fear, doubt, depression, some type of addiction, if you'd like to see your family saved, friends born again, if you'd like to have the wisdom of God, you know what we need to do? We need to give ourselves to prayer and fasting like we never have before. And so I'm going to ask all of us to just take a good hard look at this subject today. And we may be here till, oh my, it's already 5 after. But I want you to come to this subject with an open mind today. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Because this is not something that we just all jump at, you know. And so what I want us to look at, a definition of fasting, what it is, and what type of fasting and praying can we be involved in? And what are the benefits and the promises and the blessings of prayer and fasting? I want to cover those three areas with you this morning. If you're on board with that, say, "Speak, Lord."
Speak, Lord.
All right. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, steal one this morning. Okay? Grab somebody's iPhone, tablet, whatever, but I want you all to see this. Now, and then we're going to make some decisions and that kind of thing. But number one, what is fasting? Look at Matthew 6. What is fasting? What is fasting? We know what prayer is, right? All right, well, what is fasting? Well, I'm going to give you a biblical definition. But first, I want to see what Jesus said about fasting. Matthew 6:16, "Moreover, when you fast..." Did you catch that? He's already said a mouthful. "Moreover, when you fast..." Not if you fast, but when you fast. "Do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." This may be one of the best kept secrets in the church. But did you all know there are many churches in Montgomery County in the month of January that's going to be fasting and praying? Oh, so we're back to this. What is fasting? Well, we don't fast so that we might look better than everybody else. And you don't fast to get God to do something for you. Okay? Fasting and praying are a spiritual disciplines that you do for God's glory. This is something that's going to honor Christ, and it's going to bless you, but it's going to bring Him glory and honor. So let me give you a biblical definition of fasting. I mean, here's a biblical definition of prayer. This is real deep. Are y'all ready for this one? Talking to God. There's a lot more that goes with that. But what is fasting? Biblical fasting takes place when we abstain from food for a period of time with a spiritual goal in mind. Let me say it one more time. Biblical fasting takes place when we abstain from food for a period of time with a spiritual goal in mind. Now, Fasting from food, the most natural desire we have is to eat. Right? Because if you don't eat, yeah. And so that's the most natural desire we have is to eat. And so when a biblical fast takes place, we give up a certain amount of food for a set time with a spiritual goal in mind. Now, as I mentioned, prayer and fasting are not hoops that we jump through to get God to do something for us. But I do believe that prayer and fasting gets us in position to hear from God, and so that we might be able to listen to Him and respond to Him in a special way. And I told you, I'm just learning about this stuff. I am. I've just been doing this for just a few years. But I want to tell you what fasting does for your pastor. It gets me on praying ground. Fasting gets me on praying ground. It gets me serious about my relationship with God. Well, you mentioned something, Pastor, about a spiritual goal in mind. Well, here's a good spiritual goal. Getting to know God more intimately in the month of January than you've ever known Him before. A more intimate relationship and fellowship. That would be a good spiritual goal. For God to revive you, to revive your spirit. How many of you know we need revival? That God would revive us individually, that God would revive our church, that God would send revival to our community and our churches, that God would send revival to our country. Those are all great spiritual goals. What would it be like for you if you saw God deliver you from some things that we talked about a minute ago, from doubt and fear and anxiety? All of those things, if God were to deliver you from those, would bring Him glory, God's wisdom, God's salvation. All of these things would be good spiritual goals. For God to unleash His power in your life, those would be good spiritual goals to set. And by the way, any spiritual goal that gives God glory would be a good goal. Anything that would give God glory would be a good spiritual goal to set. Are y'all with me? So that's what fasting is. It's a time of abstaining from food for a period of time with a spiritual goal in mind. That's what fasting is. Now, what are the benefits of fasting and praying? I'm so glad you asked. Look with me at Isaiah 58. This is a whole chapter on fasting that pleases God. What are the benefits of prayer and fasting? Somebody in here is going to get this and it's going to set you free this morning. Isaiah 58, what are the benefits of fasting? And if you've got these sermon notes, you can follow. I've got them all written down here for you. Okay? There are 22 promises, 22 benefits in this chapter alone for those who operate in prayer and fasting. And look at verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? And so that's one of the benefits, freedom from oppression. God will set you free from the chains that bind you in a season of prayer and fasting. He'll liberate you from things that have kept us disobedient. You know, that's one of the biggest hindrances to God's blessings in our life is disobedience. God will set you free and remind you and me of things that we need to be obedient about instead of being disobedient. And then there's a lot of other things that we, you know, I heard Billy Walker confess in a Bible study here in our church on a Sunday morning that he's been struggling with anxiety. Hello? Anybody else in here struggle with that? If we're going to be perfectly honest with one another, I think we would all come to the point and say, you know, I need to be set free from some things. Well, through a season of prayer and fasting, I'm telling you, God will free you up from some of the things, maybe all of the things, that are keeping you bound up that are keeping you from His best. Wouldn't it be great this year to have God's best?
Amen.
Whew! That's a pretty good benefit. And then secondly, look at verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Second benefit is you'll have freedom to give. As we fast and pray together in the month of January, we're giving church already, but man, we can give in such a way that many people will be blessed. Freedom in giving. Now, I need to be real careful with what I'm about to say, but America has bought into this panacea that the more stuff you have, the better off you'll be. Can I just tell you, that's a lie.
That's right.
Stuff will never make you happy. Now, there's nothing wrong with stuff if you just have stuff. But if stuff has you, oh, that is good. If stuff has you, you're going to wind up in bondage. And so this season in January of prayer and fasting can set us free to give so that the poor. And so when we buy into this mess that the evil one has spread, is that I've got possessions and wealth and blah, 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 and the latest gadget and the latest product or service. You know what happens when God's people buy into all that? We start trying to accumulate all this junk. The widow goes hungry. The single parent has her electricity and her lights cut off. The divorcee struggles with loneliness. The orphan has no home. The down and out stay depressed and have no clothing. Prayer and fasting brings us into God's perspective. Do you know why we have stuff? So that we can be a blessing to other people. Nothing wrong with stuff. God gives us stuff so that we can be a blessing to others. Look at your neighbor and say, amen.
Amen.
Now, and so here's the third benefit. Healing for body, soul, and spirit. Look at verse 8a. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And then verse 9, you shall call and the Lord will answer and you shall cry and He will say, here I am. Have mercy. Healing for the body, soul, and spirit. I don't have time to get into all of it, but I want to tell you, God has provided seasons of healing, emotional healing, and spiritual healing in my life. When I got serious about this stuff that we call prayer and fasting, He will heal you body, mind, and spirit. There's a lot of physical benefits that I think happen for us when we, you know, the toxins and poisons that are in your body, fasting helps deliver you, your body from that stuff. And then there's other things that need healing in your spirit. How many of you, well, I don't need a show of hands, but has somebody hurt you lately? Somebody close to you? Well, you know what the devil will do with that? Hello? He will use that, and He'll plant a seed of unforgiveness and bitterness in your life. And before long, that root of bitterness won't be hurting whoever it is you're upset with, but it'll be tearing you all to pieces. God can heal you from that through this if we get serious about this thing. So that's a great benefit. And then God's presence and God's protection. Look at 8c. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer and you shall cry and He'll say, here I am. Prayer and fasting brings the protection of God upon us. The answers that you're going to get, you know, how do I say that? I've mentioned this before. God may, in January, I mean all of hell may break loose in your life. God doesn't isolate us from trouble. But what He does is He insulates us in trouble. And you'll have the glory of God to protect you. He'll be your rear guard and your front guard. How many of you know the glory of God can protect you? Some of y'all, I promise you, after some of you all get through January, you're going to look like Moses coming down off the mountain. You're going to be shining to beat the band. Whew! I can't wait to see what God's going to do this month in and through our church. And then God's glory is exalted. I talked about that. An answered prayer. Look at verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden. This month, some of you are going to get some real answers to stuff you've been praying about. And it may not be the answer you've been looking for, but it will assure you that God is guiding your steps. Answered prayer. Look at all those benefits just from prayer and fasting. Isn't that amazing when we do things God's way? And there's many more benefits that I hadn't even talked about in that chapter alone. But I want to tell you, you'll be the better if you'll go through this season in January in prayer and fasting. And then finally, what are the ways that you can pray and fast? Look at Mark 2 in verse 20. It's not Luke 2:20, it's Mark 2:20. I think I wrote that down wrong in your notes. Mark 2:20. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away. Who is the bridegroom? Jesus. The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. We are living in those days. Jesus expected that we might fast and pray. Can you imagine what would happen at Second Mile Church if we began to pray early in the morning and we began to pray at noon and we began to pray in the evening, that God's people might begin to pray and fast all day, every day in January? Woo! God's power and His presence would be ushered in to our lives like we've never seen before. Well, let me just encourage you with several avenues of fasting. Maybe you've never fasted before. Just try fasting for one meal. Just one meal. And during that meal that you're giving up, spend some time praying. Spend some time praying. Just one meal. What meal do you... Well, you can tell by looking at me, I like all the meals. But what meal would be easiest for you to give up? Breakfast? Lunch? Spend that time. Lord, I'm giving this meal to You. Just one meal a day. And you could do that once a week for the month of January. One meal a day. And then, I guess, a one-day fast. Luke 18:12. I've written down some scripture verses for all of these. Luke 18:12 says this. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Jesus is speaking here about the religious crowd. So you could take one day or 2 days a week and fast. You know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You could try that. And spend that day really praying and fasting with that spiritual goal in mind. And I've got some prayer guides. Diana, see the big, not the commitment cards, the big 8.5 by 11. Hold that up. Just hold it up. I've got some of these up front. We've got some in the back. But that's a prayer guide for your season of prayer and fasting. I've got all kinds of scriptures listed there for you and things that you can pray about. Maybe one meal a week. Or 2 meals. Or 2 days a week. 1 day a week, 2 days a week, something like that. Esther, y'all remember Esther when her people were in danger of being wiped out? Do you remember what she asked all the Jews to do? To fast and pray for 3 days. You could pick a 3-day fast. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4 talks about probably what a lot of scholars consider to be a 7-day fast with no food and just water. Now, I'm not telling y'all what to do, because I especially know how the Baptist Church is. All right? Because I are one. But all I want you all to do is just pray and ask God what it is that He wants you to do. And if He doesn't lead you to a season of prayer and fasting in the month of January, don't do it. Here's one that I found that's very effective. Look at Daniel chapter 10. This is called the Daniel Fast. I'll read it to you. Listen to this. Daniel chapter 10 verse 2. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And on the tail end of that 21-day fast, they call this the Daniel fast, probably vegetables and water, maybe some nuts and certain kinds of fruit with berries, blueberries, strawberries, that kind of thing. 21-day Daniel fast. On the end of that 21-day fast, God gave Daniel probably the greatest prophetic message in all the Word of God. Daniel, 70 weeks. Consider a 21-day Daniel fast. By the way, you can Google that one. It's all over the internet if you wanted to engage in that. Then Jesus and some others, Lydia's granddad has done this, and some others that I know. A 40-day fast. We had one man in our church that did this back when I was in Waynesboro. A 40-day fast with juice and water. Matthew 4:2. And maybe you're under a lot of medication and you got to be really careful about that. Why not give up caffeine and soft drinks for January? Or sweets and desserts. Wouldn't Brother Cal be a lot better off if I'd give up all those? Yeah. But whatever it is that God leads you to give up, whatever He wants you to abstain from, you do that. And then spend that time that you would normally be engaging in that activity of eating, spend that time in prayer. And then I brought something I wanted to be a... Y'all know what this is? This is a prayer journal. And I've got all kinds of, I've got all kinds of journal entries. And there's one that particularly, July the 4th of 2016, this was a season of fasting and praying. My heart has been restless for many months. I don't know why. I have a great family with me. Diana's happy. Isaac is the joy of my life. My daughters and son-in-law are close. My 3 grandchildren are precious to my soul. Our church family is the best a pastor could have. My deacons are wonderful and so supportive. Our friends in Wayne County have treated me like a king these 19-plus years. But my heart longs for Clarksville. My mother needs me. My hometown needs Jesus. Diana's family needs us. The Lord and many of these people in Clarksville, the 88%, need Jesus. And I can't read the rest of it to you because it's so personal. But during your season of fasting and praying in January, keep a spiritual journal. Now guys, I know how this is. We don't like to read or write. But get a 3x5 card or something just to jot down. And here's why I want us to do that. At the end of the month, we're going to look back and we're going to have a praise and testimony service up in here, and we're going to give testimony and praise to God for all He did. Now, you don't need to go tell everybody and their dog about, I'm fasting this month. Just keep that between you and the Lord. And let's just see what God will do. Let's prepare for a Spirit-filled 2019. Now, I've got some of these commitment cards. I didn't even put, there's not a place on here for your name. But I want you to take these home today and pray about it. The Wednesday night crowd already knows about this, so if y'all have prayed and just check the fast that you're going to enter into, and then leave those in the welcome buckets back here. You can give them to me. But I want to track what God's doing. How many of our folks are fasting and praying for the month of January? Okay? These are commitment cards. Just turn these in next time you're here and just pray and ask God, what kind of fast do you want me to operate in? And then get you a spiritual journal and write those things down for the month of January. And let's see. You know, when you're talking about tithing over there in Malachi, that's the only time in the Scripture God says, I double dog dare you. Try me now in this. And see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing, you won't be able to contain it. And that's the way I feel about this. I double dog dare you. Just try prayer and fasting with us. And let's see what God will do in January. And that'll open up the door for the other 11 months to see God do what only He can do. Now, this isn't a normal, regular Sunday morning sermon. Obviously, this has been more of a teaching tool. But I feel strongly about this. I've started mine today. If you want to know what I'm doing, you can see me later. But I mean, this is personal. This is between you and God. I'm not going to ask any of you, what are you doing? But as a church family, I would like to know what we're doing. And they're back here on the table. The prayer guides are back there on the table. I've got some extras up here up front for those of you that are staying for Bible study. Yes. You got to be wise about this. Good question. If we're going to be fasting, I don't know if y'all are going to be fasting from breakfast, but you got to be wise about it. We're going to a tremendous revival services at Yellow Creek this week, and they're feeding everybody that shows up at 5:30. And I forgot to tell some of the brothers and sisters that want to go, maybe serving something we don't need to be eating down there that night. But this is between you and God. And maybe, I mean, what do y'all think? Do we need to cancel the brunch next week? I wouldn't worry about that. That'll be between you and God. Some of you folks may not be kidding, though. So just go ahead and have the brunch and just let God do what only He can do. And like I said, if you've never done a lot of this, I'm a rookie at this. I've only been doing this 8 or 9 years, on and off. But it was through a season of prayer and fasting that God led us home. And this stuff works, I'm telling you. God could do anything. One of my heroes of the faith is Dr. Ronnie Floyd. And I read his book on prayer and fasting, and it impacted me greatly. But he made a statement in his book, God can do more in one moment than we can do in a lifetime. What could God do in this moment at Second Mile Church? Father, You're stretching us, and I get that. You're pulling on us and tugging on our hearts. And this is something, Lord, if we're going to be honest, that most of us haven't spent a lot of time with this. But I pray, God, that this would be one of the most Spirit-filled, enriching times in our life this month, as Your people gather together in a season of prayer and fasting. Speak to our hearts, Lord. And if you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship that you need with the Lord, let me tell you, Now's the time to give your heart and life to Christ. Today is that day. And if you'll see me, I'm here. We'll have some prayer warriors here with me. But if you're not sure about your relationship with Christ, there's no way you can enter into a season of prayer and fasting. And so we're going to open up this altar here for prayer. Maybe your family has a real prayer need. We'd love to pray for you. Maybe there's a prayer issue, a prayer need that you've got, and you want to share it with me, and I'll be glad to pray for you. We're going to ask you to get up out of your seats and come forward for prayer as we begin 2019 together. There's power in corporate prayer, brothers and sisters. There is power when God's people pray. Father, I pray this all in the name of Jesus and for His sake and His glory. In Christ's name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.